Hi, it's Zoe, and today we're doing something a little different. We're doing a book review, and we're doing a book review because I think this book, Next by Matt Church, is one of the most useful handbooks for advanced leadership thinking you could get your hands on this year. So it's a great way to start the year and do some high-level, highly leverageable activities together with your team or just by your lonesome. Let's do this.
Welcome to the Zoe Routh Leadership Podcast, your source of strategies and insights to make you a better leader. Influence, improve, inspire.
Hey, great to have you back. Lots of updates happening around the traps. First of all, I have to let you know, thank God no chickens died this week. We had this really unlucky spate of weeks with dying chickens. So yay, I still have two chickens. So hurrah, we've got some progress on the life front. Still learning Australian lingo. And I wanted to ask you about this one. Had you heard this expression? See you round like a rissole. Now, I know my Canadian accent doesn't do it justice, but that's the expression I learned last week from a group. And I thought, really? See you round like a rissole. Like, when I first came to this country, I had no idea what a rissole was. Turns out, for my non-Australian friends, that a rissole is a hamburger, essentially. It's like a meat patty. And the expression is, see you round like a rissole, is because meat patties or rissoles are round. For some reason, this is a well-used, hilarious expression. Anyway, see you round like a rissole. That's my adding to the vocabulary this year. Lots of things launching. You'll have to go to my website. Otherwise, it'll take me 20 minutes to list through all of the events and activities that we've got going on. ZoeRouth.com, click on events. It's all there. I want to work with you if you are a keen and dedicated learner and you want to elevate your game in the leadership space. We're all about making life easier so that you can achieve more with less struggle. That's one of the reasons I'm bringing this book review to you today. Matt Church. Matt Church is one of the most amazing people I have ever met. He is one of the most amazing speakers I have ever heard, and he is one of my mentors, full disclosure. He is the founder of Thought Leaders Business School, where I have been enrolled as a participant and student for the last 3 years, and that particular experience has transformed my business and personal life. So I am a raving fan already. I have read, I think, maybe all of his books, or most of them anyway. And this book, Next, Thoughts About Tomorrow You Can Talk About Today, is his latest book. And it is totally worth reading. It's worth reading. It's worth reading in hard copy. You know, it's rare that I actually get a book in hard copy. This one is worth it because it is such a useful handbook. It is a collection of essays. Matt's written a number of essays over the last, I don't know, 2 years or so. And each one is a distillation of deep thinking. And I loved reading this book because just the rigor and depth of analysis, of scoping of the big ideas, and then distilling them in a useful, pragmatic way, which is easy to read, and you don't get lost in it, well-referenced and well-researched, with follow-up discussion idea tools. So you can actually think, well, that was nice, and now so what? So the so what questions are included in there for you and that you can use with your team. So it's well laid out, it's well researched, it's well written, and it's a pleasure to go through. Now, so that's a nice structural stuff. And as a writer myself, it's always nice to read somebody else's writing that has good flow and has a good voice in it. So yeah, Matt's got all that going on. The contents of the book, it is really focused on big ideas that you can apply to your work and life now that are embracing and dealing with the future. So the essays range from looking at big picture issues and ideas that are happening in terms of trends around the world and how to make meaning from that, to essays on personal productivity. There's quite a few of those that are pretty excellent, as well as looking at implementation and skills for a better leader. Those are the general topics. But I want to highlight just a few of the chapters to give you a taste of what this book can do for you. Probably my very favorite chapter is number 2. It's called Reinventing Reading. And when I first read this, it kind of changed my whole approach to how to look at reading. And most leaders I work with don't read enough and need to read more. And this is completely overwhelming to them because they already feel like they have way too much on their plate, which is true, actually, for all of them. They do have way too much on their plate. Life is busy. They can't keep up. And the scope and volume of information out there is just insane. So how does a leader sharpen their saw, so to speak, their thinking saw, if they're already exhausted from the workload that they've got? Well, this particular chapter, Reinventing Reading, is just so... Okay, I should just calm down. It's just excellent. So the first... It has a couple of key concepts in this chapter, and the first one is you're not qualified to choose the books you read, which is a little offensive, to be honest, at first glance. But really what he's saying is... Don't bother wasting your time trying to figure out what to read. There's like thousands and thousands of books published every year. You'll never get through them all. You need to be critically ruthless in how you select your books. And so Matt suggests get recommendations from people who are already doing the curation. So he suggests Goodreads. He likes Bill Gates's annual reading list. There is a new book club that Adam Grant has started, which is an excellent start. So you want to get very, very careful and selective about the books that you implement. Plus, if you read Matt's newsletter, he's always referencing really awesome texts. So you can just read what he reads and then you're a step ahead anyway. His second idea around reinventing reading is read the right book at the right time. And he's got three types of books and three different times in which you can read books. So he's got the adrenaline books. Inspiration, 30 minutes, start of the day, and you place those books at certain particular times where you already do things. So you attach reading to an activity that you're already doing. So he's got exercise. You can listen to a podcast if you like, or you can be one of those exercise junkies that reads on the bike, but I don't advocate that. Go podcasting. Or when you have a coffee break, you read a book. Or when you're driving, you listen to an audiobook. Or when you're having a beer at the end of the day, you read a book. So little chunks of time, and you attach it to these things that you're already doing. That's a way to get traction on your day. Oh, I'm sorry. I almost forgot the other place where he puts his adrenaline books. On the toilet. He has Dunny books. I guess that depends on your toiling habits. If you're going to spend half an hour in there, go for it. If you spend not very much time in there, it's not going to work for you. The idea, though, is that you have these books that are, you get your brain switched on, you do it while you're doing something else, and off you go. There are academic books, which are to uplift you, to expand your thinking, and you can do those throughout the day and you schedule them in. And then you have anesthetic books, which are the ones that you use to just switch your brain off from the big picture heavy lifting. So fiction books that you use at the end of the day in bed before you turn the light out. So that's his idea number 2 with the reinvent reading, which is read the right book at the right time, which I think is excellent. This concept was probably the one that helped me change the way I approached reading, and it's don't read books, absorb them. So what he means by that is that you can digest a book differently. I used to read books like many of us still do, from you open the book at the beginning and you read it through from beginning to end, like a narrative. So that's not so good if you're dealing with business books and the huge volume that you need to do. So what you can do is read the back cover, get the key points, read the summary, read the book review, go to Blinkist, which is a great app that has either written summaries or read audio summaries of particular books. Get the dot points, get the highlights. If they have diagrams, study the diagrams. Look at the table of contents and get a sense of what is the flow of the idea. What is the overarching premises? Read the first chapter or the first paragraphs of each chapter. Read the summary points at the end of each chapter. So you can skim through, get a sense. And if there's something that yes, ticks your buttons, hits your buttons, go deep and read that chapter. And if it is compelling enough, then you can go ahead and read the whole thing. So go back to the beginning and digest each chapter by chapter to make points of it. Take notes on essential issues. I use Kindle a lot and I highlight a lot, and that gives me my book summary points right there. So if I forget what the book is about, I just flick to my Kindle and there you go. There's all the highlighted bits. If it's a really useful book that I want to recommend, I make a whole slide out of that book with the dot points underneath it so I can summarize that book later. And this reinforces the idea and goes into my subconscious and conscious database of useful premises. So I love this idea of don't read books, absorb them. Set place triggers to help you develop the reading habit. We talked about that. Dunny books and cycling books and whatever. Do something with the knowledge quickly is idea number 5. So that's making a recommendation, doing a book review, writing a blog about it, or making a slide as I do. So that's the way that you can act on it and process it and make use of it. So that is one of the chapters, just one of the tiny chapters in Matt's book. And that was my absolute favorite one. Here's another one I think is just to give you a sense of the variety and scope of the information in this book. Another chapter is called The Four Teams. And I still struggle with this chapter in terms of what he advocates. So I think it's useful when you have something that you read and you go, huh, not sure I entirely agree with this one. Because it makes you challenge your own thinking and distill why you disagree and how you can craft something that is reasonable and useful for you. So this particular chapter, The Four Teams, is about the different types of teams that show up in organizations. And basically, Matt's model here says that there's a distinction between focus on really successful relationships or not. That's sort of one axis or distinction, I guess. And the other one is whether or not you have completed tasks or incompleted tasks. In other words, is your team focused on relationships and activity getting results, or is it not? And there's four types of teams. There's functional, where people get stuff done, but there's not really great relationships. It's like a call center. Stuff gets done, but it's kind of bleh if you think about it from a relationship point of view. There's floundering, where you get neither work done nor good relationships. So why would you be there? Let's get out. And then there's a focus on relationships, but maybe not such a high emphasis on getting tasks done, that you would prioritize relationships in the team over ruthless execution. And then there's the last one is the elite. So thinking about your team at work as an elite sports team, as opposed to a family, which is the other one. So an elite results focused team gets stuff done and they have a high level of relationship engagement. And yet it's always about results first and not necessarily about relationships. So in this particular chapter, Matt goes through each of the four types of teams and lists how things operate in those kinds of teams. The next thing is working out what team are you? What kind of team would you like to have? So my problem with Matt's idea on this is that I'm not necessarily liking so much the fact that he puts the family concept of team as second place or second rate to the elite sports team. So it sounds like that this is, and maybe I'm just inserting what I think he's thinking, but I'm getting from this particular essay is that the elite team is the thing that he advocates, you know, go hard or go home. However, he does say that it's a continuing discussion with his business partner, Peter Cook, and whether you're running a family type business or a sports team, because there's good things and bad things about each of them, obviously. So my personal preference is to have a very relationship-based business, and that's how I operate in terms of building my team, as well as the results focus. I think I think this is what Matt would agree to, is that if you have a preference for a family-style business team, is that this could be your Achilles heel, in that you may end up sacrificing results and quality in favor of looking after the personal stuff. So I'm sitting with that. I haven't completely resolved my issue with that. And that's the sign of a good book, right? It promotes your thinking. It provokes your thinking. And it gets you to challenge yourself. It's like, what do I really think about this? And how do I really want to operate with this? So that's one of my other favorite chapters. And now what's the other one I liked in here? Elemental meetings. So this is a pretty good one too. From a standpoint of running meetings, and meetings are like the lifeblood suckers of anybody's experience at work, unless you have really good ones. And in this particular chapter, he's got four different types of meeting. Create the future, bring it to life, share the journey, and join the dots. And it's whether you're informing or inspiring, and you're focusing on minds and hearts. This model is so good. The elemental meetings is based on the fact that he has used the I Ching metaphor as a structure to remember how we can use these four different types of meetings. So bring it to life is fire, and that's brainstorming. Relationship building is share the journey, and that's about water. Advice giving is about air and joining the dots. And decision making is creating the future, and that's earth. It's quite a beautiful model. And then he goes into a bit of detail about each of these. And then the idea is that be more strategic with how you run your meetings. What is the purpose of each meeting? How can you structure it? And how can you get out of the meetings that are, you just want to poke your eyes out with a toothpick and get more useful time out of your meetings? So that is a quite practical, pragmatic, useful way of looking at meetings that is beautiful and elegant. And it's got a lovely model in it. It's pretty much every chapter has a lovely model. And every chapter, as I mentioned, is extremely well researched and well referenced. So if you like the cut of his jib, you can go deeper around the people that he's been reading too. Okay, what's this one? Life Productive is another chapter. This is the last chapter I'm going to cover in this review for you. Basically, Matt summarizes some of the stuff that's happening in the world. Process work is getting taken over by robots and AI. Time is the ultimate non-renewable resource. Yeah, I believe that too. And value trumps time. So no longer can we clock in, clock out. Because really, the robots are going to take all those clock in, clock out. So he talks about, in terms of being life productive, there's different levels. There's level one, which is being efficient. Level two, being effective, and level three, being leveraged. Now you're talking. And in terms of being leveraged, he gives us some key productivity tips in here. Use calendars and lists. Don't use your memory. I advocate for that. Don't use your brain as a bucket. Get everything into your calendar and lists. Plan your week at the start of the week. Yes. Plan your day the day before. Yes. Do the tough stuff first. Yes, that's a huge one. Don't let other people's stuff dictate your stuff. That's a really important boundary one. Make work a game. This was a really useful, insightful tactic or strategy that I learned from Matt also, is how do you gamify your work so that you can motivate yourself when your motivation is on the floor. And I like that. So he plays little games. He's like, right, 10 phone calls, and then I can go do something fun, like call my brother or eat a sandwich. So he sets himself up to have little wins like that. It's like, right, I'm going to do this disgusting, horrible. That was probably not great language. I will do the stuff that I find more challenging first, and then I will reward myself with some fun stuff at the end. Work in bursts. Now, out of this chapter, one of the other, apart from those amazing tips, which are so useful, and if you actually implement them, make a huge difference, is the diagram that he has, or the model he has for this. And he talks about how you can approach productivity and be life productive from a body, mind, soul point of view. And you look at fitness, nutrition, and rest. Yep. For your mind, it's focus, discipline, and meditation. And for your soul, it's purpose, belief, and beauty. And I love that last one, actually, for recharging your soul is beauty. It's kind of, Matt has this wonderful way of being extremely pragmatic and then just dropping, bing, these little drops of insight that go deep and remind you that you are not just a highly productive human thing, you are actually a human being. And the fact that he's included just an immersion in beauty as a way of recharging your soul speaks volumes to the depth of thinking and perspective that he brings to his work. So yes, it's about being productive, and it's for a higher purpose for all the games that we play in life and work. So do I recommend this book? Yes, I do. I think this is a get in hard copy kind of book, and I'll put a link to the book in the show notes, which you will find at zoerouth.com/podcast/next, which is the name of the book. Oh, that would be my phone going off. I forgot to turn that off. Sorry about that. So the show notes will have a link to the book, or you can just Google Matt Church next, and there will be his book on his website there. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast too in iTunes, and the link will be in the show notes too, so that you won't miss any more book reviews or upcoming updates. So as I was saying, yes, recommend. I would get this in hard copy, not just on the Kindle. And I rate it a 7 out of 10 in terms of how much will it hurt your brain in terms of complexity, and a usefulness factor of 7 out of 10. So there you have it. Matt Church's book, Next, Thoughts About Tomorrow You Can Talk About Today. In the meantime, live well, lead well.